Welcome to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Now get ready for another episode of Dark Becomes Light with Heidi Hollis.
Welcome to our podcast. Please be aware the thoughts and opinions expressed by the host are their thoughts and opinions only and do not reflect those of iHeartMedia, iHeartRadio, Coast to Coast AM, employees of Premier Networks, or their sponsors and associates. We would like to encourage you to do your own research and discover the subject matter for yourself.
You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Welcome to my show. Remember, each week, this is the place you go to when you want to learn about the latest and the most horrific, the most angelic, the most positive, the most negative encounters and experiences that are being reported around the globe. So if you or someone you know has experienced something and you want to give some comments or gather some insight or other advice, send it to me through my main website, which is shadowfolks.com or HeidiHollis.com, whichever. They both go to the same place, but sometimes people spell my name wrong, so I thought, Shadow Folks. and tell me all the details about whatever it is that you've been experiencing, because the more that you give, the more that we can better understand and capture where you're going with it and how we might be able to shed some light. And again, if you're a researcher, I want to hear what it is that you've come across. I want to hear about what it is that you think is going on. Because how else do we get all of these different opinions to come to a good and best conclusion unless we're not all working together, right? We got to work together. We got to do that. So please send me all of your insight, all of your experiences, all of your thoughts about whatever it is that you're experiencing. And if you want to be a guest on the show, you're also welcome to do that. Come on this program and talk about it. But I am not kidding you. Even before a live audience, people prefer to sit in the back and meet me afterwards and talk to me afterwards or send an email and have me read it. So I get it. I welcome it. Don't worry about it. It is all good. And guess what this show is today? This is the Halloween special show. How about that? And I am not kidding you. Halloween, I could get really, really busy. I get a lot of requests to do a lot of interviews. And I know a lot of shows get frustrated with me because I admit it, I don't do a whole lot of interviews. I used to do 8 shows a week where I was hosting them. So I didn't have a whole lot of energy to always pick up and jump on another program for 2-3 more hours to talk about these same things. And so people still come, come on my show. And it's like, I try to do as many as I can. But it does get to be hard to jump on all the time. So I do a lot of interviews. I do a lot of projects, and I'm also a cartoonist. I'm an author and lecturer. So I'm just hopping, and I'm a guest on a lot of different television shows as well. So I'm always popping around, and I'm like, you know what? How about I lend this energy towards this show through this Halloween special? All of that. I don't know if you can hear my voice, but I'm a little bit sick and getting over it. And believe it or not, people do get colds during this pandemic. So it is a cold. I have actually caught like 3 colds during the pandemic. I don't know how. I really don't know how, but it has absolutely happened to me. And here I am again with another cold. Changing of the seasons, what can you say? But I am here, I'm in one piece, and I did actually have to cancel an interview because I barely had a voice, but I'm here. You know what? I thought it would be really cool to do for this Halloween special because I probably cover the darkest and spookiest topics that are out there, and why not cover some of the dark and spooky stuff, but also some of the more strange stories that I personally have come across in my own travels and meeting different people and learning so many different things. I mean, I think people would be surprised how often I'd gone across the country talking and meeting or doing book signings and having a good old time just, you know, conversating. And I love conferences, but the people and the stories and getting to relate and sit back. And before people knew who I was or what I did, especially, it was a lot of fun. The vibe is a little bit different now. They're like, oh, you're the one that does those books or you're doing this show. It's a little different, but I enjoy it the most. I really do. I want people to, you know, open up and share. And I'm going to open up and share about some of those folks that have opened up and shared with me. And over the years, we're going to talk about some of these things. So crop circles, we're going to talk about lake monsters. We're going to talk about hellhounds, an alien girl. So I'm going to share these stories. And so I'm going to start right now just because I can. And of course, Hat Man, we got to talk about that, and shadow people, right? We got to hit those. We have to. But I want to start off with the lake monster, because this is one of the more peculiar stories that I personally heard from the person directly, okay? And this is all from a lake in Wisconsin, and I won't specify where it was, because believe it or not, there are a few different lakes in Wisconsin where I was raised, though I'm from California. I was raised mostly in Wisconsin, and I met a gentleman who was kind of weirded out about a specific lake, and we were talking about some of the strange goings on that happens in different parts of Wisconsin. And he's like, I got a story for you. And I'm like, ooh, do tell. And he's like, well, I don't know how best to put this. It sounds really weird. He's like, but, you know, there was a summer and I was riding a speed boat kind of, and, I believe it was his sister that was behind the boat on a water ski. And he's like, all of a sudden she started freaking out and panicking and just like, you know, saying, go faster, go faster. They're like, what do you mean? You know, faster. It's like, we're going pretty fast. And she's like, move, move, move. You know, didn't want to slow down, hesitate. And by the time, you know, she was just like beside herself, by the time that, you know, she got into the boat and they got her to calm down, she described what was kind of like a long snake-like creature swimming fast behind her. And she saw it absolutely clearly. And the way she described it, it sounded very much like the Loch Ness Monster. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, like this is a thing with this lake. And then I go to look up. Now, if you guys Google, it's actually on Wikipedia of the different lakes that have had spottings of a lake monster all over the world, and several in the state of Wisconsin, stories and stuff that have come up. And I can't say that they've had photographs, but I know that the stories are actually out there. And you know, it's so cool to look a person in the eyes and to hear these types of stories. You go, what? You know, because they were really disturbed by it. And while we're on the topic of lake monsters and Wisconsin, so there is a lake, and I'll say which one this one is, because this isn't a personal story, but so Rock Lake is located like 20 miles from Madison, Wisconsin, and it's the home of a supposed known lake monster that they call Rocky. Now, Rock Lake is unique in its own because it's got some very odd rock formations in it, and that's another story. But Rocky is supposed to be a lizard-type creature. Now, according to Ranker, it says there are even Native American legends from the area that tells of a, quote, huge and terrible monster. A creature that had a large head, awesome jaws, and body likened to a serpent. And then the first sighting, supposedly, was in 1867 when a man tried to stab it with a spear. And reportedly it had no effect on this thing. So imagine that. You see a giant serpent and you're like, I'm going to stab it. And it doesn't even work. I mean, what is that? And then in 1882, there was a rowboat race. Sounds kind of fun. And there were several witnesses to seeing Rocky the monster. And apparently, Rocky's got a reputation for snacking on some of the local farmers' livestock. So, like, he would actually come ashore and these things would be mauled. You can't help but to wonder, though, too. It's like, or is this like what we would call like cattle mutilation type of thing? I mean, what kind of creature is this? And I always thought it was really, really fascinating how the whole topic of lake monsters, very similar sounding all over the world in various lakes. They all describe something very similar. I mean, and there's always like native cultures that have spotted these things and have stories about these things. I mean, yeah, the open seas also have their stories, but these are consistent all over. Serpent-like, very long, very elusive, you know, and not always consistently seen, no, but just a similar stories. I don't know. I just, it's kind of a cool mystery to have. I like it. I dig it. Do you guys? I mean, it's one of those, like, how can you say you're a lake monster hunter? I mean, we got Bigfoot hunters. Those are seen more often than a lake monster. We got ghost hunters. We got UFO hunters. We got alien hunters. I mean, all these things are seen, but these lake monsters, they're so rare. It just keeps the imagination and the rumors continue. I just don't know how better to grasp the whole concept of what they could be. But, oh boy, I don't even know how to address this part. Let's just say the contact that myself and my college roommate had many, 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 many moons ago, the topic of lake monsters was brought up, okay? And I didn't know, I would have never guessed that these creatures are something interdimensional, potentially. But you think about it. I mean, how many times have some of these lakes been explored and drug out, and we got satellite images on everything? I mean, people got cameras that are motion detectors, and we're just not catching these things? But you think about that. They must be interdimensional. They must have a deeper meaning. Maybe they're the ghost of dinosaurs. I mean, why not? We have residual hauntings of people. Why can't we have residual hauntings of something like a lake monster? Ooh, did Heidi say that? Yes, I'm feeding that rumor and I'm going to stick to it. But there's more juicier content about that in my book, The Secret Four, talking about lake monsters. But I can't go into that right now. But we're going to get to our first break. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, the Coast to Coast AM YouTube channel is waiting for you now.
Go to coasttocoastam.com for more information.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Coast to Coast AM mobile app is here and waiting for you right now. And with the app, you can hear classic shows from the past 7 years, listen to the current live show, and get access to the Art Bell Vault, where you can listen to uninterrupted audio. Head on over to the coasttocoastam.com website. We have a handy video guide to help you get the most out of your mobile app usage. All the info is waiting for you now at coasttocoastam.com. That's coasttocoastam.com.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Wow. Okay. Today is Halloween special show, right? So what am I doing? I'm dishing out some of the wildest, spookiest, most bizarre stories that I personally have come across just because it's pretty close to Halloween. And yes, I have a cold. My voice is a bit messed up, but it's okay. I'm here. And we're just dishing these things out just because it's fun and I'm never bored. So we talked about lake monsters in the first segment. This next segment, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about a little thing called crop circles. How about that? So let's begin. I have a really wild story for you, and this one is a little bit personal. Okay, it is personal. So I had, this was some time ago. You guys can, I don't know, people will probably do a search on this, but I haven't researched this to be 100% certain this is the fact of things, but my personal story is this. I have had lucid dreams all my life, some that are really kind of otherworldly and seem like out of body-ish, and how, I don't even know, waking dreams, teaching dreams, learning dreams, plain and boring dreams, dreams. And this one time, I had a dream that I met with some UFOs, and they would just kind of pop down, and I'm like, oh, hey, what's going on? And one of my friends came up to me and I was talking, I'm like, oh, hey, by the way, do you want to see the UFOs? They come down and they chat. Oh, sure. Okay. So this is a dream. Okay. And I go over, I'm like, okay, over this spot. I'm like, oh, here comes the UFO now. And it's like, it's coming down. And this kind of thing has happened in real life though, where UFOs have come down and not little ones either. And, so this UFO, it comes really low, but instead of landing, instead it projects, it's almost as if it came from the ship itself. Looked much like a music CD came out of it, and it kind of lowered this disc, and the disc was spinning, but there was a distinctive pattern on it, and it came really close, to me. And I remember going, well, this is so weird. They won't land. I'm trying to tell my friend, I don't know why they're not landing. I was kind of like embarrassed, like, you know, they usually do land. I mean, really, they do. And I'm like, what is this coming out of this ship? I'm like, oh, it's a disc. And I remember it coming right up close to my face. And I look and I'm looking at the pattern. And even though it's spinning widely, the pattern stayed still. I don't know if you've ever seen those kind of odd alarm clocks that have something that's going ticking back and forth, but you could still read the time on it. You ever see those things? And it was kind of like that. So it kept this very still image of this very distinctive pattern on it. And then the disc started to go back into the craft. And it was like being projected and lowered on a beam of light. I want to say it was like a light blue or something. And then it goes right into this slot back into the ship. And I'm like, well, hold on, you guys, you're kind of embarrassing me in front of my friends. You're not landing, you know, type of thing. And I'm like, okay. And they're not communicating either. And then the ship just kind of takes off. And I was really kind of puzzled. And I was just like, I remember trying to talk to my friend, like, I don't know, that was odd. They don't usually do that type of thing, but okay. I guess I'll see you guys next time. You know, I just didn't know. It was really odd. So, I remember that the next morning I got up and I drew that pattern. And I was like, I didn't know. I just felt it was important, you know? And I put it in, back then I had, one of those daily calendar things, you know, that you keep in your backpack or something. And I just, you know, drew it in there and I'm like, saw this, it was cool. Don't know why that happened. And, then I was sitting watching, the news, and I remember this like announcement on the news, like, well, it's happened all over Europe. It's happened over here. It's happened over there. And now crop circles have landed in America. And they showed a crop circle in, it looked like wheat or something. And lo and behold, it was that exact image that I was shown, that's the exact pattern. And now I had, I think I had two roommates at the time. And I remember I'd shown them. I was like, I come running in the room. I'm like, I had a dream about this last night. And I'm showing them the image. And they're like, oh, I'm like, just last night. And I was so puzzled. Like, well, what does this mean? What does this mean? And I mean, this was way before I'd gotten really deep into the topic. I found it to be intriguing, and I'd read a couple of books on the topic of aliens and abductions and whatnot, but crop circles, I didn't know what those were. I didn't know what I was looking at, and I'm like, you know, UFOs, aliens, I mean, wow, you know, it shook me to my core, and I had no idea where all of that would have led me at the time, but, I knew I had a strong connection right then and there, I'll tell you that. I mean, who has a dream that seems so real it stays with you a lifetime? Like, here I am, still talking about it. And to get that kind of evidence just right there in your face and with others to go, wow, you dreamt this? Here's the drawing, you know? Like, it really changes your perspective. It really does. But I don't know... I don't always know why these things happen as they do, but I have a better understanding now. But back then, no way, Jose. But a UFO showed me before I saw it on the news that crop circles had landed here in America. But the part that I don't know is if that's true. Was that really the first crop circle? I mean, I'd have to research like the year and when that was and if there's ever been any reports of that. I mean, I think I'm pretty sure that there's been people have reported odd patterns in crop that didn't quite make sense. Who knows? I don't know. I got to look it up at some point. But crop circles are not like my big thing. I think they're really cool. I think they're really fascinating. And I would surely love to go into one of those big mamas over there in Europe. But here's a question I like to pose. When it comes to crop circles, have you guys ever looked at the ones that show up in Germany or the ones that show up in England or other places. For some reason, I don't know, you know, like, you know how people have a certain slant to their letters when they write in cursive or print? It's like you've got a certain style, right? And when I look at the crop circles in different parts of the world, I swear that they're just a little different per country. Like, it's like their own little signature crop circle. I don't know. But yeah, it's just me. Look at some of these online and you tell me what you see. But I that's what I see and that's what I observe anyhow. But it just looks a little bit different to me. Now, this other story I want to tell you, and this is also coming from a story in Wisconsin. And this is a person that I know who had a very interesting crop circle encounter. In a certain area, I'll say where this was. This was in Dundee, Wisconsin, and Long Lake over there. There was a person that came to tell a friend of mine, like, there is a strange thing here on the lake. It's like, what do you mean there's a strange thing here on the lake? And my friend was like, you got to come out onto the water to go see what I'm talking about. So he goes out there in a boat. And they go to this area that's kind of close to shore, but not, I think he said it was kind of in the middle. I mean, murky water, you know, with reeds that come up from the bottom of the lake, right? And they're like, there's this weird spot in the middle of the lake here where the reeds are. And he goes to it, pulls his boat up next to it, and he's like, he put his oar to it and saw it was hardened. So then he, like, swung his leg over and felt that he could probably put some weight on this, right? And before he knows it, he's got one foot over, puts his weight, the next foot over, puts his weight. He said, Heidi, it was as if I was walking on water. I was on a platform of mud intertwined with reeds that had somehow formed this concrete thing. He didn't know exactly what it was at first, but it turned out to be circular. And this braiding like pattern that often gets seen in crop circles, but in the middle of a lake. In the middle of a lake. And he took several photos. Now, back then, there weren't drones where you could put a camera on and get a good look at it. But he did his best to document it because he couldn't believe his eyes. He couldn't believe what he was experiencing. It's the first of a kind, honestly, that I've ever heard of a crop circle in the middle of a lake that had rose up the mud and formed pillars, or a pillar, of supporting platform of mud where a UFO had apparently landed. And the locals had also reported seeing many bright lights right in that area. And the lake in that whole area is known for having a lot of UFO activity and things going in and out of the lake. So it wasn't odd. That part wasn't odd, but a crop circle on top of a lake, sure the heck was. So, and this is the place that I have seen the most UFOs I have ever seen. Every time I go there, it's more like, when have I not seen something there? So that is Dundee, Wisconsin. You got to check out UFO Days there sometime. Third Saturday of July. Unbelievable. So, well, we're going to get to our next break. You guys, you are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Woohoo! Halloween spooky stories. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Tired of thinning hair and not so thrilled with the options to reverse it? After 10 years of extensive research, Dr. Nathan Newman is proud to introduce Reveal. Easy to apply Reveal works great on men and women. and is used in the comfort of your home. Applied morning and evening. Free of parabens, sulfates, silicones, and dyes, Dr. Newman uses stem cell technology and natural ingredients in this revolutionary product.
It's the only product that can be used for men and women without having to worry about side effects on your heart. It wasn't an accidental discovery. It was really made for the hair, so it doesn't have all the side effects that all the other products that we had. Because it was made for the hair, it really has very good effect very quickly. You will see the changes in your hair, not in 2 years, but you will see it within 2 or 3 months. You will see that it's thicker, is more lustrous, better. And the more you use it, the more it will continue to benefit and maintain the hair, because it's a fight against our genetics and against the hormonal changes that we get. Once you start using it and you see the benefit, you want to maintain it by continuing to use it.
Reveal is a luxury home care system applied twice daily that is as good a treatment as you would find at the most exquisite salons at a fraction of the price. And only at HealthyLooking.com can you get Reveal with free smart delivery shipping. Simply enter discount code George. Time to return to a fuller looking head of hair with Reveal from HealthyLooking.com or by phone 24/7 at 800-604-3129. 800-604-3129. Genuine Reveal is not available in stores. Order today at HealthyLooking.com. Reveal.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. It's Halloween. special. Yeah, there you go. Was that spooky? I don't think it was spooky, but yeah. So this is the show where I am just sharing some of the strangest, spookiest, oddest stories that I personally have come across that, yeah, I mean, I don't know. A lot of people wonder, how do you get through your days? Do you sleep okay? I sleep great. These things don't scare me like other people. I guess because I grew up in a haunted house and I had so many experiences and all this different stuff. And, and by the way, if you're noticing my voice is a little bit messed up, I am getting over a cold, and it really was a cold. It's okay. I'm okay. But yeah, so I think that over the years, I thought that I always just had bad luck where I would witness and experience so many different things, and the people around me just so happened to experience different things. But I'm going to tell you guys a secret, okay? So I've lived in a lot of different places and various friends and whatever I've lived with. And as a medical worker, I've lived in different places as well. And this is not easy to admit to. I'm going to just put that out there first. It's not easy to admit to. But, you know, I thought, wow, these people that I just so happen to know, they're weird like me too. They have these odd experiences. And, you know, as roommates or as friends and coworkers. And I'd hear these stories or see their faces right after they experienced something. And I'm like, wow, I'm not so odd. And then I get back in touch with these people years later. And I'm like, so, wow, you know, how are those experiences happening? You know, are they still going on? And I usually get, no, Heidi, it all ended after I lost touch with you, or after you moved out of the city, or after we weren't roomies anymore, or whatever it was, or housemates. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then I get that little guilty thing in my pit of my stomach, like, ooh, is that my fault? Might be my fault. And, you know, I'm seeing now, a lot of it's my fault. Okay. I don't know how to get past that or move past that and be okay sometimes with it, because sometimes it's not fun. And other times it's kind of, ooh, that was neat. And other times, oh gosh, I'm so sorry. But then I try to tell people how to protect themselves too. So I do my part. I don't just let people be hanging. If they share with me that they're experiencing something, of course I let them know what they should do to protect themselves. And yeah, so I'm going to share a couple of stories about some of the people that I have known, bumped into, or that were friends or coworkers or whatever. I'm going to share it right now. All right, so just to show how random these things can happen to people. And again, I didn't always know that it was kind of like this, not always a contagion. I'll explain better at the end of this story. But all right, at work, you know, I'm an occupational therapist. I work with those who have psychological cognitive dysfunction. I work in a variety of different types of facilities, and I've also owned my own clinics. So, all right, let's just share. Okay, so people find out what I do by different means. Okay, they could Google me, or they just happen to know, or whatever. It's always surprises me that people take the time to look somebody up, and but that seems to be a common everyday thing now. It's like, oh, we have a new therapist walking around here. Let me Google her. Oh my gosh, what does she do? So, but anyways, so I had a place that I was helping out pretty consistently. And one of the people that worked there happened to ask me about some of the work that I did. And I was like, oh, and I try to keep it as less scary as possible, especially if the person doesn't know me, really well, or I don't know them very well. And I don't like to scare people. And, you know, I deal with demons and goblins and the devil, yeah, but it's not all dark. You know, Jesus, angels, all that stuff too. I put it all together and talk about so many different things and how they're all connected. And I don't go that deep though. And I'll just kind of keep it superficial unless the person asks more. I'm like, how far did they Google me? I'm thinking. So this person asked me some questions, and I shared. I'm like, well, I help people if I can and give some insight on some different things. And, you know, I write books on these things. And, you know, I just kind of kept it as superficial as possible. And then the next day they asked more questions. I'm like, oh, they're getting deeper. They must have really hit a link. It went to another link. I'm like, okay, you know, and I want to say that this happened maybe 3 days in a row where they asked a couple of questions and just kind of moved on. And then the weekend hit. By the following weekend, that same person was a bit freaked out. And now, okay, let me finish the story. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. And she goes, what is in my home now? I said, what? Excuse me? She said, I was making my kids' lunch and I put the sandwich together and I had this very heavy cookie jar on the counter, a very level counter. I wasn't drinking. I'm like, what? Where are we going with this? I wasn't drinking. and I saw it start to slowly glide towards me and then curve over towards, like it was going to go to the edge to drop off. She said, I caught it and I put it back. And I was like, I didn't see that. And then it went and it did it again. And she said, that's when I screamed out and screamed for it to stop. And she's like, what do I do? And why is this happening to me? What is this? And you know, looking at me kind of side-eyed, like I did this somehow. And at the time, I really didn't know and I had any kind of issues of bringing these things around people. But I told her, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, that's a strange thing to have happen. And I did notice the pattern. I had a UFO paranormal discussion group for years at that point, and I did see people come to the meetings, right? And they were just curious because I held it at a local library, and they just come in and just be curious and ask questions and not always experiencers or anything like that. And not necessarily wishing to see something either. And, but by the next month or next meeting, the people would come back with a story like, oh my gosh, I experienced something. And it could be alien, it could be ghostly, it could be spiritual, it could be all sorts of stuff. And I was always amazed by how that could happen. Now I have a better understanding that sometimes these things, they are around and they do hang around me because I'm not their friend, the negative ones, okay? And how do negative things try to get a person down as they try to isolate them and oppress them and make people think that they're nuts or whatever and scare them off so you don't have support around you. So I think that was more of the effort when it would come to me personally. Why it happened to people when they would come to my meetings and whatnot, I think because they had looked, and again, these things are around people like myself, and they would, you know, try to take a look, or these people were paying more attention, or these things will look back at them. I mean, what is this? I'm sure there's other people out there who are like myself, who are very familiar with what I'm speaking of right here. So I know I'm not alone, but I also have another story for you. And this happened to a friend. I rented a house with this person. And, oh gosh, here, this is another scenario. It's another scenario that I didn't realize that it was quite attached to me, because this is nothing that I personally have ever experienced, but let's just put it this way. I felt terrible for this person now that I realize that it might have been my fault somehow, because they don't experience these things any longer, last that I heard. But so, okay. This friend of mine had to get something from the basement of their home. And when I say that I have never heard a person run back so scared, I mean, wow. I mean, absolutely panting, shaking, sweating, could hardly get their words out. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And they're like, a dog. I'm like, a dog? What do you mean a dog? You have a dog in your basement? Like, what? And they're like, I heard and felt, oh, this gives me chills, hot air from like a very tall sounding like dog with glowing red eyes, like the most deepest guttural growl I have ever heard in my life. And they felt as if they were about to be devoured in their own basement. And I have heard now of people reporting what quote-unquote hellhounds. And sometimes Hatman is seen with what appears to be like a hellhound or directing this hellhound like shadow black creature with glowing red eyes, gnarling teeth, drooling, angry, sometimes large, sometimes typical sized animals chasing people and just having this absolute feel of evil around it. But I've never seen anybody immediately after have experienced something like that. I mean, honestly, I think that was the first time I'd met anybody that had experienced something like that. And to see the raw emotion of feeling like they just run for their lives. So it was quite an experience for me as that person. I was terrified. I never went in that basement. I never would go in that basement. I'm like, there's a ghost of a dog down there? I mean, is this another form of shadow people take? And sure enough, but kind of a hellhound type of situation. And apparently those have been around for a very long time. But yeah, I mean, I've got the spooky stories. They are coming. And I've got one of the worst that I've heard coming up next. You guys, you are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. We'll be right back.
If you feel stressed, suffer from fatigue, moodier than usual, or would like to fall asleep easier and sleep more soundly while losing weight, do we have something for you? Accelerate and Elevate. I take Elevate Performance Supplement in the morning for energy and laser focus for work. Then before bed, I take Accelerate Weight Management and Sleep Combo. And indeed, I now sleep soundly through the night. Plus, I'm losing weight. It's amazing.
I've maybe gotten 4 to 5 hours of sleep max a night. I'm sleeping between 6 and 7. I wake up to use the bathroom, but I go right back to sleep, which has never happened before, which is pretty awesome.
I notice a higher level of happiness. I also noticed that I wasn't taking naps. I had more energy. I was more in the moment with my kids. Like, we were laughing more. We were more excited. Every single person needs to feel this.
I lost 10 pounds and 5.5 inches off my waist, and I'm so proud of myself. It gives you energy. It helps you sleep better. It just works. I stand by it 100%.
I was a handful of medications to help me sleep, to help me be happy, tons of therapy. When I'm ready to go to sleep, I'm getting 7 to 9 hours of sleep every night. I've lost some pounds, inches mainly. My family has me back.
Try Accelerate and Elevate, discounted for listeners to the show. Plus further discounts with the George Power Pack, including a free gift. Learn more and order now at our website, energyfocussleep.com. That's energyfocussleep.com. Or 800-394-9930. So jump on the path now to all-day energy, better sleep, and weight loss with Accelerate and Elevate. EnergyFocusSleep.com. EnergyFocusSleep.com. Or 800-394-9930.
Hey, I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go, right? There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. On NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's part existential deep dive and part game show. I ask actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to ask some of life's biggest questions. Listen to NPR's Wildcard on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. Oh, yes. It is the Halloween 2021 episode, and I am reflecting on some of the stories that I have come across that have just really kind of stuck with me, mostly, and horrifying, spooky, mysterious, and all of the above, and I have saved a couple of the worst that I have heard, because, I mean, what do I specialize in? The two things that I named, Shadow People and Hat Man Phenomena. They are really as disturbing as they come, but I'm actually going to even steer off from Hat Man first. And I'm going to go into something really dark and deep and horrific because, Okay, so I'm going to try to make this one as nondescript as possible, but this happened to a child that I knew that was, oh my gosh, really intelligent kid, very observant, very insightful, and I do my best to not talk about spooky things around children because, hello, I don't want to be responsible for giving any child nightmares, and I just don't think it's fair. I think that kids should be able to live their lives free of demonic entities. I don't know, go figure, or ghostly activities. So I don't try to talk about these things around children. But my friends do tend to tell kids. And then the kid will come up to me and start talking to me about some of the things that they've experienced. And that is what happened in this scenario. So I got approached by this young kid who wants to tell me something that happened, and they just didn't know what to think of it. And I'm like, okay, you know, sure. Sit down, talk to me. What's going on? And said, I don't know. I was sleeping when this little girl opened up this door in my wall and walked towards me. I said, hold on. Were you dreaming? She's like, well, I was sleeping. And then I woke up because I heard something, and I look, and there's this opening forming in my wall. I get chills when I think about this. And she's giving details. She's like sitting in bed. She sits up and she sees this little girl walk out of the wall, but it's not quite a little girl. I said, what do you mean? She's like, well, she had a really big head and she had just a few hairs on top of her head. And she got her crayons out, and she drew what she was seeing. And I'm like, ooh, this thing kind of looks like an alien child to me. But its eyes were really horrific looking. And just a horrible looking thing. Really thin body, thin wispy hair on top of its head. And she kept saying, come on, come on. And this kid is telling me I didn't want to go, but she's like, she was so skinny, but she put her hand on my wrist and it was like metal. Like I couldn't like pull away. And she's like, come on, it'll be fun type of thing. And she's like, and I'm like, I don't think I could go through the wall. She's like, sure you can. And which makes me think that this opening wasn't exactly open, but she could sense that there was something different about a certain portion in the wall. So she went and pulled her through the wall. And she's like, Heidi, we're walking. And it was like a cave like thing underground. And it smelled like rotten eggs. Just, it was so stinky. Hello, sulfur. And she's like, and we're walking along this like rocky pathway. And even as I'm talking right now about it, I get the image in my head of what she's describing. And she's like, and the girl's got like a tight grip, like a vice grip on her wrist. And she's like, come on, come on, it'll be fun. And now if memory serves me correctly, so she's like, Heidi, it started getting hot. And I'm telling her it's hot. I don't know if I can handle it. It's really hot. And they continue, though. They continue to walk down this corridor. But then the kid told me that she couldn't take it anymore. She said she felt like if she took one more step, she was going to start on fire. So, and the little girl was getting like this sinister grin, like, let's go, you're going to love it type of thing. She said, the only thing I could do was throw myself to the ground and start kicking at her and kicked her hands off, like had to peel her hands off with her feet as she's kicking her. And she's like, Heidi. And then I just got up and started running, but the air was so hot in my lungs, like I was choking on it. And I had to really fight to get back to the wall. And she's like, and it was solid rock. Like, oh no, like the path ended at this solid rock. And she's like, but this is where we came from. And she's like, I have to get through here. I have to get through here. And she's like, I kind of backed up and I ran full force at the wall. And I just, boom, went through it. And I fell on the floor of my bedroom. She's like, and the smell was all on me. And I was afraid that the girl was going to follow through. And she's like, and I just like got up. I looked around. I went to the bathroom. She's like, my hair, you know, my face, I like washed my face. She's like, I just smelled so bad. And she's like, I just went back into the room, kept the lights on, and stayed up all night long in the bedroom. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, did you tell anybody? She's like, I was too scared. I was afraid. I think she did tell her parents eventually, but told her one family member that told her about me. And that's how she got to tell me what had happened. I mean, what a story. It sounded like a half human, half alien hybrid, but demonic. Absolutely. I mean, like, what category do you put that in? I mean, but it sounded like a hell-like place, didn't it? I mean, what the heck was that? Ugh, I don't know, but just disturbing. Now, this other one, this is one I haven't talked about much, but I do have it in my book, The Hat Man. I have like 50 different stories in there of The Hat Man. And this one, oh, it's just so, so freaky. So absolutely freaky to me, because it goes to show the various sizes that Hat Man can come in. Like most of the time people tell me, he was about 6 foot or something. I've even had shorter Hat Man stories, but usually about 6 foot, but he could also be over 12, 14 feet tall. In fact, the second most common story that I hear, if Hat Man is indoors, which is often his gig, you know, he likes to come into our homes because, you know, he's a Ugh. He's not a fair ball game player. Let's put it that way. Okay. So he likes to creep in at night when your guard is down, when you're asleep, when you're knocked out and paralyzed. Of course, those are his really prime times to come your way. All right. I just have to put that out there. But oftentimes people will say he was so tall that he was hunched over and the middle of his back touched the ceiling. That's how tall he is. But this story I want to share with you right now is absolutely disturbing because it comes to us from a Native community of people who were going through a certain area of land that was familiar with them, and they were driving in a pickup when all of a sudden they spotted Hat Man, but they called him Walking Sam or Sam. And so the Natives have this understanding of seeing this creature in this certain area, apparently. But there are a lot of communities that have seen him in various areas and have this folklore that lingers about there being a man that likes to hang out. But is it always Hat Man? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I mean, verdict is out on all of that. But gosh, he sure does have a certain MO, doesn't he? But anyway, so this story, they see him and it's like a wooded area and they're driving in a pickup and they're like, hop into the back of the pickup and they're like, hit it, run, go, go, go. And they started revving their car, going as fast as they could through some dirt roads. And imagine a Hat Man, so tall as the trees nearly from what they're described. And he would take one step forward and it would almost be able to reach the car, and they're speeding, flying through the roads as fast as they could go, and he's lurching for him. I mean, this is like something like Godzilla's coming after your truck, and they could see him clearly coming for him. Have you guys ever experienced such horror, whether in a real, like, waking dream or in any other kind of scenario, had something reaching for you like that, like Hat Man? But to be bearing witness with more than one person, and they're driving a truck, trying to go as fast as they can, and they're ducking the swipes of freaking Hat Man. Can you imagine that horror? These are the types of things that he does. And he goes after people, and he haunts people. And what is his goal? It is to do everything that you can possibly imagine. And if you've been listening to this show, you've heard some of these stories. It is as bad as you can possibly imagine. Whew, I'm telling you. I think we'll end it there for our Halloween special. Because, boy, the stories just keep coming in. And I want to encourage you all who are listening to the program today to go to my main website, which is shadowfolks.com or HeidiHollis.com. Write me about whatever it is that you're experiencing there out of the ordinary. I don't care. Angels to aliens, shadow people to Hat Man. Tell me your perspective. Tell me your research. Tell me what's on your mind, because this is how we learn. This is how we grow. And this is how we defeat the darker things and welcome the more positive things. So this has been a lot of fun, and I really want to thank you guys for tuning in, because, man, you keep it interesting. Never bored on this program, because it is always new and always changing. And if it's not your stories, I like looking up various stories that are in the news or even online. And if there's a website you want to point me in the direction of, or people's research, I welcome it. And I've gotten some great suggestions, and I want to thank you all for that, too. Oh, I'm telling you, it has been one of those shows, my favorite, is just talking about these things, because it's all about you guys, and it's all about, you know, things that we're all pulling into the table and solving, right? All right, well, you have been listening to Dark Becomes Light with me, Heidi Hollis, on the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network. You guys stay safe out there. We'll see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.
Well, if you liked this edition of Dark Becomes Light, wait till you hear the next one. You've been listening to the iHeartRadio and Coast to Coast AM Paranormal Podcast Network.